Well, happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter.
Isn't it joyful? It's a wonderful and joyful day, isn't it? How great it is to be with you to celebrate the third Sunday of Easter and share this Alleluia joy with you today. It seems that I haven't been here for about 10 years. But they did remind me, some people remind me the last time I was here that I danced, and I don't remember that part. Maybe I just have a mental block. I want to first thank your interim rector, Margaret Rose, for her journey with you and for the pastoral care and for wonderful work that she's doing. Thank you so much. Give them a round of applause. I want to thank Julie. You have been a wonderful pastor, not only as associate rector, but also now during this interim period. Thank you, Julie, for your pastoral care, your commitment, and your love of your people and of this place. And God warms my heart that you are here during this period. Thank you, Julie. I also want to thank the leaders of this parish, the search committee, the wardens and the vestry, that their work, the work that they're doing in this search process and discernment process, because it is a discernment process, that God's grace and blessing may be with them to the point, at that point where they make their decision. Thank you for your leadership and your care and commitment to this place. Wardens and vestry, you stand up for a second? And the search committee members too, stand up for a second if you're here. Thank you, give them a round. It is good to be with you today. Now it goes without saying that Easter is the heart of the Christian faith. The Christian story begins with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not the birth of Jesus Christ, but the resurrection. Birth is important because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the disciples' encounter with the risen Jesus, the stories we're hearing through Easter. Without Easter, there is no Christianity. Without Easter, there is no Christianity. After the crucifixion death of Jesus, we can imagine the disciples had to be traumatized. Wouldn't you be? So they hid away in fear and in secret place. Then when they witnessed risen Jesus, they were healed. They were healed of their traumas and the fear, and found their renewed hope and courage of faith to forge ahead with a new mission of their life. What they experienced in that journey was nothing short of the resurrection of their own lives. I don't know about you, but I need that same resurrection experience right now. The world is traumatized by so much chaos and war and cruelty around us. Even the former Archbishop Rowan Williams recently said that there is something demonic about American politics right now. The world needs healing and cleansing by the resurrection grace of Jesus Christ. And in today's gospel story, we have Cleopas and his friend disciple, who were followers, not the core members, obviously, but they were disciples of Jesus. They were walking a rather difficult journey. They had to be traumatized too. They were trying to make sense of it all, but silence was the only language to express their grief and their trauma. They left everything behind to join Jesus, and now they found themselves disillusioned, discouraged, and in despair. The road to Emmaus for these two disciples was a road of despair. Then suddenly a stranger appeared to the two disciples, a stranger who would turn out to be no stranger at all. Now here's the thing with Jesus after his resurrection. Now if I were tortured and executed by the rulers of this world and I returned to this world, I would not want to return to this world at all. But if I were to return, the first thing I would do is to set everyone straight, especially those who betrayed me, and put some major fear of wrath in them, in those who tortured and killed me, wouldn't you? Well, not so with Jesus. He rose from death and appeared to his disciples in perfect peace and grace, as if nothing mattered to him. All that happened as if just kind of something that just happened. Remember last Sunday when Jesus appeared to the disciples and Thomas? The first thing he said after giving peace, forgive. Forgive. Forgive, all their sins were forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they'll be retained. That was the first missional charge to the apostles. As he listened to Cleopas and other disciples, you can sense his patient and compassionate presence. We can also sense his sadness and disappointment as he lamented, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets declared." Then Jesus asked the most important question. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? This is the central question at the heart of the Christian faith. Was it necessary that the Messiah should suffer? Our impulsive answer is no. There had to be a different way. We want to search for an alternative way, not so much out of concern for Jesus as what the answer yes would implicate about us humans. Yes would imply that the human nature is cruel enough to inflict pain and suffering on innocent people for selfish gains and power. Yes would implicate that the human nature is cruel enough to inflict suffering and death upon God's anointed. Yes is to admit that we do not have the power, even the will, to stop ourselves from cruelty to each other. Yes would mean that we are utterly powerless to save ourselves. No advanced technology has ever been able to save the sinful humanity so far. I can tell you that no AI will save the world. Yes, it was necessary that the Messiah, God's only Son, should suffer these things and then enter into his glory in union with God for the salvation of the world. For God, there was no other way. Bound up with Christ's suffering is the human suffering, the suffering of those powerless and the forsaken. As we ponder upon the suffering of the crucified Christ, we cannot avoid pondering upon the suffering of our fellow human beings. Jesus is challenging Cleopas and his friend and all of us today to embrace his suffering so that we are concerned with the suffering of the innocent forsaken in the world today. It is how we learn to be compassionate. It is how we learn to be human. It is how we learn to be Christian. We live in a world filled with so much suffering and fears. The world is traumatized by multiple wars, chaos, uncertainty, cruelty, and brutality, which seem to have become normal in our common life. Some days it feels like to me like a tomb of evil forces. How will this traumatized world be healed and restored into peace and wholeness? Well, I join Pope Leo and Archbishop, our own new Archbishop, first female Archbishop Sarah, and many other Christian leaders around the world, and call on our president to stop the war in Iran. And the brutality against innocent people. Wars only beget more wars, and innocent people pay the price for it. Hate begets more hate and destroys the human goodness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "It is the fellowship of the cross to experience the burden of others. If one does not experience it, the fellowship he belongs is not Christian. If any member refuses to bear that burden, he denies the law of Christ." The church is the fellowship of the cross. The church is the broken and traumatized body which is healed and redeemed again and again by the resurrection grace of Jesus Christ. So the church's mission is to share the burden of the broken, the traumatized, and the forsaken of the world, and be an instrument of healing grace of Jesus Christ crucified and risen. In every generation, the suffering people look to the church for healing and redemption. Today, black and brown immigrants bring their traumas to church for healing. The LGBTQ people, especially trans people, bring their traumas for healing. The poor, the oppressed, and the forsaken still bring their traumas to the church for healing, even when the institutional church has failed and even colluded with the empire in its project of oppression and injustice against them. The church is still the instruments of God's healing and redemptive grace. The world needs more than ever our witness to this healing grace of the risen Jesus. The road to Emmaus was a road away from Jerusalem, away from God. They had given up, the two disciples had given up on Jesus, thinking that it was all over. They were returning home and to the same old life. When we are confronted with the devastating tragedy, our initial impulse often is to yearn for the past and return to it. The road to Emmaus is a road to the same old past, while Jesus would not allow that. Jesus would not allow Cleopas and his friend to go back to the same old past. When Jesus blessed and broke bread with the two disciples, everything changed. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized this stranger for who he was. They were able to see new possibilities and a new future for their lives. They experienced resurrection and now saw their lives from the perspective of the resurrection. Easter is not simply a happy ending to a tragic story. is Easter is not a mere idea, but this very life we live. It captures the unending rhythm of life here and now, our continuous struggles with the challenge that life deals us. Yet we rise again and again to a new life. The resilient spirit of life rises again and again out of the smoldering ashes of violence and war and out of the rubbles of destruction, injustice, and inequality. Life always, always rises because God's spirit of resurrection is within each of us. Nothing, no war, no ICE brutality, no patriarchal oppression, no anti-LGBTQ bigotry, nothing can stop the resurrection grace of Jesus Christ. Easter restores humanity back to a life of dignity, love, peace, compassion, and mercy. Nothing, nothing can stand in the way of the power of God's resurrection grace. The road to Emmaus in the end turned out to be a journey of the Eucharistic encounter with the risen Jesus. And in the midst of their confusion, pain, and despair, the risen Jesus appeared and engaged with them. And their hearts burned with fire, the spirit of the risen Jesus. And they rose and turned around and begin a new journey of life, back to God. May your hearts burn in your Eucharistic encounter with Jesus today. In the 4th century, Bishop of Milan, St. Ambrose, once said, "We are created to be God's Alleluias." Alleluia means praise. What a wonderful metaphor it is for us. You and I, we are God's Alleluias, God's praises. So turn to your neighbors, turn to your neighbors and say, "You are God's Alleluia." Come on. Turn around, turn to your neighbor. You are God's Alleluia. Put your hand on your heart, my friends. Put your hand on your heart and repeat after me. I am God's Alleluia. Say that one more time. I am God's Alleluia. How awesome is that? We are all God's Alleluias. So friends, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.